The Lord is worthy of our praise. Church, this morning we continue on in our wisdom series, the Summer in Proverbs. And I thought about doing a really graphic illustration, and I decided against it because I didn't want the focus to be on what I was doing, not the words that are being said. And so let me just start like this and just say, sometimes I think it would be easier if we all just stopped talking altogether. Amen. Mute. Because every one of us in this room at some point or another in our life has caused damage with our words. And so I just wonder, would we be better to be silent? And maybe already this morning, maybe your words have already wounded your spouse. Maybe you spoke in anger towards your kids. You spoke harshly towards them. Or maybe it was even towards somebody here at the church. Maybe this week you said something you shouldn't have to a coworker. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have to your boss or to a teacher or anything like that. And I think we can all agree that most of us, we don't wake up in the morning and decide that today's the day I'm going to hurt David with my words. I don't think we wake up in the morning and decide that we're going to hurt people with our words, because it's not premeditated. It just comes out. And that's actually the scariest part of the tongue, is because if we can't control it when we're trying, what does that say about us? And it says that apart from Christ, we have a heart problem. And that's really the gist of it. The tongue doesn't create anything on its own. It reveals what's already there. And apart from God's work in us, our hearts naturally drift towards selfishness and destruction. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had something to say about this. And when I read it, I want you to feel the weight of it. So this morning, I want you to have your Bible open. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. There's going to be several scriptures that we go to throughout the day in the book of Proverbs. But this morning, we're going to start with chapter 18, verse 21. And so find your way to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And then it will also be on the overhead. And listen, we already know why I asked you to open your Bibles, right? I want you to get familiar where things are in the Bible, so when you're out in the real world and life happens, you can recall, Pastor talked about this, and then you can go and find it because you opened your Bible in church and you know where it's at. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is important. Because when it says we will eat the fruit, what we need to understand is we will eat the fruit of our tongue. Whether the fruit of life or the fruit of death, we are responsible for the fruit our words produce. But Solomon reminds us that there are two very different paths our speech can take. When our hearts move towards bitterness, towards selfishness, our words often follow that path. And those words don't just wound the person on the receiving end, they also slowly shape the person speaking them. Joy all of a sudden gets replaced with grumpiness and anger. And in fact, you might know somebody like that. You might indeed be that person. But if you stay on that path long enough, you will find yourself becoming a shell of who God created you to be, because you've chosen the words of death. But when God transforms a heart, speech begins to move in a different direction. Words, they begin to build instead of tear down. They bring hope, they bring healing, they bring joy, and they bring life. But if we're honest about those two comparisons, knowing that and doing that are two very different things, are they not? Knowing that and doing that are two very different things. I had a day last week, and my wife can attest to this. Maybe you guys can understand this. Maybe you're like me and you fall short sometimes. I had a day last week that was just a stressful day, and it was hard to navigate. And I came home grumpy. I was short with my family, and they were just innocent bystanders. Anybody? Just me? All right. Hey, that's all right. And I'm such a bad person that I went to bed wrestling in my mind whether I should apologize or not. Men, come on. While I was considering speaking up, I fell asleep. And it completely left my mind until the next night. As soon as we laid down in bed, I finally spoke up and I told Alicia, I said, I meant to do this last night, but I fell asleep. I'm sorry for the way that I acted yesterday. And it's already 24 hours later and a different day, different set of circumstances. And she kind of just shrugged it off, didn't you? You said you had a bad day. She tried to help me justify my action. But I said, my bad day doesn't give me the right to treat my family the way that I did, and I'm sorry. And how did you respond? Do you remember? I love you. She said, I love you. And what I just shared, and I hope that everybody, that's an easy enough of a story that most people in here can attest that I have walked that path before. Open mouth, insert foot, refuse to take foot out of mouth to apologize, and then take it out the next day when it's already stale. Come on, right? I must be stepping on toes because it's quiet. What I shared with you just now is exactly what Solomon writes about in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. So if you want to flip your Bible now to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. We're going to be jumping all over the place, so I need you to be ready to fly with me here. Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says this, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Let's just take in that image. Your words are like a sword thrust into somebody. But the tongue of the wise does what? Brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And the story that I just shared, the grumpy tone, the being short, that's the sword thrust. But when I chose to own it, to apologize, and to refuse to make excuses, there was forgiveness, there was healing, and there was love. And that's the choice that Proverbs tells us is in front of us every day, every single day, in front of every single one of us. We can either thrust swords or death or life words. We can bring healing, or we can thrust swords, or we can speak death, or we can speak life. Your words are always planting something. We need to understand, and you could change that word to doing something. Your words are always planting something. Okay, ready for another scripture? Proverbs 10:19 tells us, and for some of us, we might want to take special note on this verse. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Arvin, have you always been like who you are today? Like, when prudent, right? Like, Crystal, has he always been that way? No, so it's been a come with wisdom. Is that what you're telling me? With age and with wise counsel? He can hear the worst news in the world, and he waits and he measures his response. I strive to be like Arvin in my responses to things, because he can just sit cool as a cucumber and hear the worst news, digest it before all the wisdom comes flowing forth. And I don't know. Arvin's like turning red. Crystal, I think she's rolling her eyes that I'm puffing them up so much. But listen, I think we all know somebody who doesn't lack words And guess what? Transgression is always right there with it. It doesn't take long before you say something stupid when you just talk nonstop. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So what you should have just heard, the less we say in heated moments, the better. When you're in an argument with your spouse, race to be the first one to shut up. You want the best wise counsel I can give you to not have fights with your spouse? Shut up. Tell me I'm wrong. If there's no argument coming forth, what is there to talk about? If we both just shut up, maybe we can have some time to process it and then come back. She's smiling at me. She's waiting for me to shut up. Sometimes the wisest thing that we can do is just simply close our mouth. Trust me. Your words are not as important as you think they are. And she's laughing because she knows I have an opinion about a lot of things. But here's the good news this morning. And we can't just skip past this morning. Does anybody know what Pentecost Sunday is? Do you know what Pentecost Sunday is? Pentecost Sunday is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples and the believers in the upper room. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Helper came. And it's not by chance that a sermon about the tongue lands on the day of Pentecost. And so today is Pentecost Sunday. And so Acts 2 tells us that when the Holy Spirit showed up, the first thing that changed was human speech. People who were hiding behind locked doors were suddenly declaring the wonderful works of God. But before the Spirit came, they were told to wait. And while they waited, they prayed. They surrendered. They positioned themselves to receive something that only God could give them. And so everybody understands what our church's position is. We are an Assemblies of God church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to believer, not just the disciples in Acts 2, not just the early church, you, each of you, right here this morning, right now, and the initial evidence of that baptism is in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And this is not just a side doctrine. This is not just something we believe and we bring up later. It's in all of our brochures that we have available. It's in our bylaws. It's everything that we believe. And this is not a religious experience reserved someone else. This is not something that isn't intended for you. This is the empowerment that Jesus promised. Now, why did Jesus promise the Holy Spirit? Was it to speak in tongues? No, it was not. We just say that's the initial physical evidence. What he promised was to empower us so we could boldly live, boldly speak, and so we could witness beyond our own natural ability. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for. And when I said earlier, we don't do the saving, God does. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot tame what only the Spirit can transform. We cannot tame the tongue. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings transformation and helps us. And then years of applying wisdom, we can learn how to be quiet. We already established that this isn't a tongue problem, it's a heart issue. This is a heart issue at the very base of it. But the Holy Spirit, would you know that the Holy Spirit specializes in heart problems? If we're left to ourselves, we don't have the power. We can't fix our heart of our own intuition. James tells us in chapter 3, in James 3, that no human being can tame the tongue. So when you surrender to Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to transform your heart, and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He empowers you to live and to speak beyond your own natural ability, not because you tried harder. It has nothing to do with the effort you put in. It has to do, are we surrendered, and has the Lord dealt with our heart? Because He empowered you. And if you want to know what a tongue fully surrendered to God looks like, look no further than Jesus. A tongue surrendered to God. Jesus never wasted words. He spoke truth without cruelty. He corrected without humiliation. He welcomed sinners. He healed the broken. And even while hanging on the cross, He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That's what a life surrendered to God sounds like. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, today's the day to pursue it. Today's the day to pursue it. Don't leave it as a far-off biblical story. Don't leave it as an idea that doesn't apply to you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. It's available to you. And today is the day that you decide to start pursuing it. It was meant to be alive and active in your life. And my question for you this morning is, what is your tongue currently being used for? What is your tongue currently being used for? Is it to extend your own agenda? Is it to put out your own frustration? To put out your own bitterness? Or has the Holy Spirit so transformed your life that it's redirected it towards something greater than who you are by yourself? I need everyone to hear this, especially my two graduates. Where's Dylan? Okay, there's Dylan. Where's Allie?
Okay, Dylan and Allie.
I need both of you to hear this. In fact, everybody needs to hear it, but I think our graduates need to hear it the most. Your words, your tone, how you use those words will tell everybody what they need to know about you. You're about to walk into new environments. You're about to walk into new friendships, new classrooms, new workplaces. And before anyone knows your story, before anyone knows your reputation, guess what? As soon as you leave New Sharon, you don't matter anymore. That hierarchy that you created in high school on who's who in North Mahaska, out the window. You're a nobody. Come on, church. You know I'm not lying. You're a nobody. Your appearance, your name means nothing to everybody who's at college with you. So what are people going to know about you? They're going to know you by your words before they know your story, before they know who you are. Before your reputation follows you, before anything else, guess what? Your mouth is going to introduce you. Your mouth introduces you before you do. Your mouth introduces you before you do. Let's make sure it's introducing people to Jesus. Let's make sure it's introducing people to Jesus. If you still have your Bibles open, would you open it to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 4? This will be our last scripture today. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. For anybody who likes to argue, take notes, because there's some really good things in here. And for those of you who don't like to argue, take notes, because there's some really good things in here. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up what? Anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the Spirit. The tree of life. That's the image that I want everyone to carry out of here today, because here's what a tree does. A tree gives shade. It bears fruit. It nourishes everything around it. And that's what a person looks like who's being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They bring life into every room that they walk into. Their words build people up instead of tearing them down. They heal wounds instead of making new wounds. And if you have your Bible open still, look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. When nobody else is watching, God is. Your words in private matter just as much as your words in public. If you can't be comfortable with how you normally talk when you're outside of the four walls of the church, can I submit to you that you should be less comfortable how you're willing to talk outside of the church versus when you're in the church? Because words matter. We're either going to point people to Jesus or we're not. And this is what wisdom looks like in real life. It's not a concept that we study. It's not a thing that we put to task on learning. It shows up or it doesn't. Every single time you open your mouth, the wise person isn't simply the one with the most information. It's the one who has learned to speak life. It is the one who has taken what Solomon has said and allowed the Holy Spirit to transform our life. Stacy, if you want to make your way up. So the question this morning is very simple. Are you a tree of life, or are you breaking people's spirits with your word? Are you a tree of life, or are you breaking people's spirits? Are you giving life, or are you taking life? Would you know that you're doing one or the other? And engaging our community for Jesus isn't just our mission statement. It's lived out every day through the words you choose to speak. And it's so important for you to understand. Jesus is not just on Sundays. He's 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. We live and breathe Christ. And when we allow our words to tear people down and we don't own it, we don't apologize, we have now created wounds in people that they are going to have to struggle with to decide whether or not this so-called Jesus is worth following. So what Jesus are you portraying to people outside of these four walls? See, that's a rough question to ask because it makes us have some to review and to understand how we're behaving outside of the walls. And I didn't tell you the title of the sermon. The title of the sermon is Watch Your Mouth. Your words matter. It brings life or it brings death. And I would submit to you it's more important for us to bring life than it is to stand on business to say we were right about something. So church, are you a tree of life, or are you breaking people's spirits with your words? Are you bringing life, or are you taking life? Before we close this morning, I want to make sure that everybody in the room has heard the most important thing that I could ever say. Beyond every other thing that I have said in this room, this is most important. So if you've dozed off, paper, wake them up. We are all sinners. We are all sinners, every single one of us. And if you said to yourself, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person, check again. Check again. Sin separates us from God. We can't fix that on our own. No amount of effort, no amount of good behavior, no amount of community service, no right living gets us there. But God didn't leave us there. Jesus came, he lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. He died on the cross in our place where I should be, taking the punishment that my sins deserved. And 3 days later, church, you know what happened? He rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating the grave, and he made a way for us to be reconciled back to the Father. That's the gospel. And the only response that makes sense is to put your faith in him and in him alone. Not your works, not your goodness, not your kindness to people, not your effort. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never done that this morning, right now, this is your moment. If that is your desire, if you understand that sin is separated from the Lord, and there's no way back to him except through faith in Jesus. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody? Here's my question for every one of us in the room this morning. Do you want more of God than you currently have? Do you desire more of God than you currently have? And that's not a trick question. It's telling of where our position of our heart is if we said anything other than yes. Because understand, church, there comes a day when he calls us home and we're in his presence 24/7 for the rest of our lives. We're going to get more of Jesus than we could ever imagine in heaven. And so here, right now in this moment, do you want more of God than you currently have? I'm not talking about more information, more of him, more of his presence, more of his power working in your life and coming out of your mouth. If the answer is yes, and I believe for many of you it is, I want to invite you to do something about it right now, here in this moment, not later, not next week, right now. This morning the invitation is, the altars are open, come. Whether you've never fully surrendered, whether you've been sitting on the fence about the Holy Spirit, maybe today's the first time you heard about the Holy Spirit. Whether your tongue has been causing damage and you know it, or you haven't been using it to build up life, come. Position yourself before God the same way that the believers did in Acts 2. Pray, surrender, and let God do what only he can do. The question isn't whether God is willing, because he is. The question is whether you are willing. So this morning, church, as the worship team plays, come to the altar.